Even though the population of Iowa is small, we don't all speak with the same voice. The divides between urban and rural, black and white, Republican and Democrat are real. This hour, an effort to bridge those divides. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Last year, Kyle Munson of the Des Moines Register started a conversation he calls Unite Iowa. The first conversation was about water quality and urban and rural concerns. Later, he hosted a forum on immigration. Now, the idea has grown and spawned Unite Iowa on race. I'll talk with Munson and other participants. Then later in the hour, Pyramid Theater Company, a new African-American theater in Des Moines. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, a new African-American theater company starting up in Des Moines, the Pyramid Theater Company. We'll talk about their latest plans. But first, last year, Kyle Munson, Iowa columnist for the Des Moines Register, started a project he calls Unite Iowa. The first conversation was about water quality and urban and rural concerns. Later, he hosted a forum on immigration. And now the idea has grown and spawned Unite Iowa on race at Drake University, conversations about race and politics in Iowa. And Kyle Munson is here with me now. Hello, Kyle.
Oh, good morning, Charity. Hey, great to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here today. And let's go back in time. You were on Talk of Iowa to talk about that first conversation you had with your Unite Iowa idea. But remind us a little bit about what happened, because that was a pretty spontaneous conversation.
Yeah, that was spontaneous. And it was it was thanks to one of my veteran colleagues in the newsroom, Bill Petrosky, who's probably sitting in the Iowa Senate right now, you know, trying to help keep our lawmakers accountable. This was when the water quality issue was just starting to kind of really boil. The lawsuit had just been filed. And, Bill just remarked one Friday in the newsroom. He said, and I was interested in the issue because all these divides were, coming up between rural and urban and everything else. And he said, you should just take Bill Stowe up to Northwest Iowa and sit down with a bunch of farmers and see what happens. And I said, Bill, that's both crazy and brilliant. I love it. And so that was, it was really just a modest forum. We really just, a photographer colleague and I put Bill in the car. We drove up there. We, made sure that, lawmaker, Randy Feenstra, who had proposed a boycott of Des Moines, he was going to meet us there at a coffee shop. I coordinated with the coffee shop, some other local people and farmers came around, and it was just a small but interesting little circle. And, so it was a really modest dialogue, and now here, obviously a year later, it's still a huge issue. We had stories just this last weekend, and we're looking at the start of the lawsuit in August. But I thought it was a useful conversation and a productive one, a year ago.
In August, you hosted a forum about immigration, and that was at Buena Vista College. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, I didn't – when I had that first – foray into Northwest Iowa wasn't necessarily, I didn't necessarily know where this was going to go. And, as the presidential campaign was really heating up last year, this whole thing has been guided by the collaborations with people in the community, people whom I, might talk to or report on or write about. But now in this whole mission, it's been an interesting, interesting partnerships, teamwork, and that sort of a thing. And so, there were a lot of people in Iowa who were really interested and invested in trying to have a more civil tone to this whole issue of immigration. As, Trump was entering the race, there was talk of, wall building at the border and everything else. And Iowa in the last, 20, 30 years has really been transformed by immigration as well, even though we're not a border state. But you look at the agricultural industry and everything else. And different communities around the state that now are, minority-majority in the schools or sometimes in the communities themselves. There were just some great great people that helped me out at Buena Vista University, all around Iowa, Marshalltown, Des Moines, far northwest Iowa. And so with a lot of help, we had a great forum in August at the university in Storm Lake with a couple of presidential candidates, including Martin O'Malley, who was out there early on the immigration issue. And when we held that in August, the issue was really the headlines at that time. We just, that was no design of our own. We planned the forum months in advance, and immigration was one of the hottest topics in the campaign at that time.
Well, and this is the point where Carol Spalding Cruzy comes into the conversation. She is a professor of English at Drake University and involved in this series of conversations under the Unite Iowa banner right now, and she is with us as well. Hello, Carol.
Good morning, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, you read the articles in the Des Moines Register about that immigration forum. What was your reaction?
I did. I was very impressed with Kyle's ability to gather what I think was about 400 people to that dialogue at Buena Vista College. But also, for me, with dialogue, who you bring to the table is really important. And I was really impressed with Kyle's ability to bring lots of people with lots of positions to discuss the subject of immigration.
And that came in, or the idea came to you and to Kyle to create this series of conversations that we'll talk more about. But how did that idea come into fruition? How did it come about?
Well, I've been teaching a course, a first-year seminar course at Drake University for about 10 years. And the course is called Talking with the Enemy, Dialogue in a Polarized Age. And the idea of the course is to get people in conversation with one another using various established forms of public dialogue to talk about contentious issues in a way that is informed and civil, and where people are able to listen to one another's opinions without it breaking down into ugliness or, you know, some other form of debate that's unpleasant for people. So my goal is to have students in the class learn to engage in a way that a university setting, which is the place for the free exchange of ideas, where they can learn to acculturate to a university setting in that way.
And you reached out to Kyle.
I did.
What was that first conversation like?
Well, I actually sent Kyle a short video that had been made in my class from last year when I taught the course. Last year, the topic was gay marriage / marriage equality. And at one point, we were so fortunate to have Bob Vanderplatz from The Family Leader and Donna Redwing from One Iowa join us for a class session to show us how they disagree with civility on one of the most contentious issues of our time and are able to remain friends and to have civil dialogue on a regular basis at what they call their breakfast club over the course of many months. And so they were a real model for us, and they came to class and actually had one of their dialogues in front of our class. I taped that, and then inspired by Kyle's dialogues last year, I sent that to him and invited him to start thinking with me about having a course where we talked about issues of race over a sustained period of time. And Kyle agreed. I was very lucky.
Well, and Kyle, you know, this Unite Iowa idea has morphed over the past year. What was your response when Carol called you? Because this idea has kind of taken off on a life of its own.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I still remember the subject line. It was just a real modest Unite Iowa inquiry, you know, and I'm like, oh, what's this? And, you know, I start reading, and she's got the video, and, here I'm, you know, I'm learning about, and I heard a little bit about this before. You know, there had been a little bit of coverage around the Vanderplatz, Donna Redwing, you know, forums that had, you know, included her class. And but this was a great opportunity to really have yet again, this has all been led by these surprising collaborations. And as a journalist, you kind of embraced in serendipity of everything. But here was a chance where race has been such a crucial discussion, obviously, throughout the history of our nation. But we're in this post-Ferguson era, and then we saw what happened at Missouri University. And here's a chance to have a journalist and an educator engage an entire state. And, you know, we're being very deliberate about now trying to have this discussion all around the Des Moines metro, different places with different partners. So I was, you know, I was really struck by the idea, and it started a long conversation and a lot of meeting, and we brought in some key students, and we just kind of let our you know, conversation guide and shape this idea that we see now.
And we'll bring one of those students into the conversation in a moment. I'll read the list of the forums, the subjects that you guys have put together, and you've already held one, so we'll talk about that one as well. The Color of Democracy was just held on February 26th at Drake University. In the future, so March 3rd, Clashmates, Race in Schools at Valley High School in West Des Moines. On March 31st, Tough Talk About Race at the Science Center in downtown Des Moines. Criminal Justice, you haven't decided where and when to hold that one, but that'll be somewhere, again, in the Des Moines Metro. And then on May 6th, One Night United will be back at the Olmsted Center at Drake University. So before we get into future plans, let's talk about what the Color of Democracy was like. And Carol, what was the idea behind that conversation, that forum?
Yeah, well, we wanted to, it was actually one of the featured sessions in as part of the Drake University Engage Citizen Experience Conference that is held annually. And so our session was on race and democracy. And what we wanted to do, and this was, of course, guided by our work with the students, Brittany Cavill and Virginia Hill, who are helping us as well. What we wanted to do was to have a different type of conversation, because I think so often when you go to forums where dialogue is supposed to take place, there's often a panel at the front of the room that does a lot of the talking for most of the time. And then there might be, you know, 10 or 20 minutes for conversation or questions from the audience at the end. And what we hoped for here was a lot more engagement and to have a lot more sort of dynamic setting. So we came up with this idea to post several large sticky notes around the room, or giant posters, that had several sort of positions that people might take on the concept of politics. So, for example, one of the posters read, "My race or ethnicity is underrepresented in politics." And another one is, "The system is rigged and my vote or voice doesn't matter." And yet another one was, "Let's get back to the Constitution." And there were, you know, seven or eight of these. We asked participants to sort of gather under the poster that they felt, at least for that day, best represented their position when it comes to politics. And so we had a great crowd of about 70 on a sunny Friday afternoon. We were very lucky. And so people gathered, and then they were asked to talk with each other about why they were in those groups. And so we began to think about, there's a lot of diversity in the room, but these groups are very mixed.
And let's leave it there. We'll pick it up in just a moment after a short break. We're talking about Unite Iowa. You can find out more about the series of conversations at iowaunited.org or hashtag Unite Iowa on Twitter. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about Unite Iowa. It's a conversation that was started by Kyle Munson, Iowa columnist for the Des Moines Register. And it started somewhat out of serendipity, a conversation about water quality and urban and rural concerns. It grew into something much bigger. He hosted a forum on immigration and now spawned Unite Iowa on Race at Drake University, a series of five different conversations in the Des Moines metro area about race and politics and Iowa. Kyle Munson is here with me. Carol Spalding-Cruzy, professor of English at Drake University, is also with me. She and Kyle have been working together to bring this program to Drake University and the rest of Des Moines. And Carol, right before the break, we were talking about that first conversation that you had on February 26th, The Color of Democracy. So you had people divide up sort of according to one of their core beliefs that was posted up on the wall. And you noticed that those groups were really quite racially diverse. So where did you go from there?
We did. And so people were sort of having conversations about why they lined up where they did. And then we also had a number of key, what we call featured participants, who were, you know, with the dialogue as well, but also who stood up at key moments to share some of their perspective. So we were very fortunate to have Christian Euclis from LULAC and Sanjita Pradham from the Asian and Pacific Islanders office from the Department of Human Rights, Gail Alberta, who was a visiting assistant professor of politics at Drake, and Deidre DeGier, who was the African-American vote director for the 2012 Obama campaign in Iowa. So these individuals circulated, listened, took notes, and then when we invited them to, they stood up and spoke a little bit about their perspective, and that included looking at who's disenfranchised in the political process and why, what sort of environment that elected minority leaders now face in Iowa and beyond, deliberate efforts that they have taken to bring more minorities such as Latinos and Asians into the political process and so forth. So it was both educational, and yet people also got a chance to express their views. And really the ultimate goal was for people to have a sense that for full participation in democracy, everyone has to care about that full participation, that disenfranchisement that certain groups feel is really our collective responsibility. So what can we as voters, no matter, you know, what our color or our background, do to help ensure full participation?
You know, and when a lot of people engage in political, we'll call them conversation, although debate is usually a better term, their goal is not just to help the other person understand where they're coming from, but often to convince them to agree with them. Did you have to try to make an effort to say, hey, we're not trying to impose your views on other people. We just want to share your views.
That's a great question. And actually, I'd like to make a distinction. I think we use debate and dialogue somewhat synonymously or interchangeably. And one of the first things that I teach my students in my first year seminar course is that there is a difference between debate and dialogue. In fact, we use some of the work of a communications expert named Deborah Tannen, who writes about the roots of debate in Western culture, leading us to see issues as very polarized and leading us to have a tendency to default into a very contentious or antagonistic mode where we feel like we have to win the argument. So when we're in debate frames of mind, we're often not listening or not really trying to learn and understand from others. But if we can practice some of the skills of dialogue, then we can, in fact, learn to see that other people's positions are a form of learning and enlightenment.
And Kyle, I'd love to hear your take on that as well, because I know that that was your idea with the very first Unite Iowa conversation, was just to let people understand where people who they may feel like they're diametrically opposed to understand where they're coming from. Is there a greater goal of moving forward, or is that understanding the end point?
Well, I mean, you want understanding is the start, and then, you know, hopefully you have you have progress, and people can coalesce around that progress, and we can all be Iowans and find like a common solution that everybody can live with and have a better democracy. So, no, I mean, I completely agree with, you know, what Carol said. And so that's why I think the power of this is in me as a journalist trying to step into some of these contentious situations and advocate for that general Iowa voice, or Carol as an educator doing the same thing. So, you know, journalism has been experimenting more in this whole realm with, you know, not just having things on the page or in the camera frame, but having some of these public events, public forums of one sort or another to try to bring people to get, you know, their audiences together in a real way, face to face, and maybe work through some of these problems so it's not just, you know, quote, sparring against each other day after day. And so I really believe in that. And it made sense, you know, for our first session to have it be focused on politics. That made a lot of sense. I mean, it worked well with the Engaged Citizen Conference, but also we had just been through this wild ride of a caucus campaign. And so I thought that was a good starting point as well to kind of, and that, you know, analyze some of that in a way, kind of, you know, a debriefing of sorts, and to see, okay, what just happened? You know, how can we get more people and more voices into this conversation? What have we learned from it? So I think hopefully you know, going through that experience is a step forward. And then as we go through this entire series, we find some areas of consensus and we can all work on that going into the summer and fall.
I want to bring Brittany Cavill into the conversation. She's a senior at Drake University and one of the organizers of these events as well. Hello, Brittany.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today. And Brittany, what made you want to get involved in this?
What made me want to get involved is just I feel that it's my duty and other students like me. It's our duty to have these conversations on our campus, because if we don't, then we're not correcting the issue. We're not correcting some of the microaggressions that we feel happen every day and on our campus. So I have a little bit of experience in planning these events from when I was the president of the Coalition of Black Students. And I just really love this series because not only are we having these conversations on our campus with our students, faculty, staff, and community members, but we're taking our students off campus to have those same conversations in the environment of our community leaders. So it's kind of changing the tone and the direction, and I feel it's going to hopefully create a comfort where we can all work together to correct some of these issues that we face on a day-to-day basis.
Now, as the past president of the Coalition for Black Students at Drake, in organizing events in the past, have you had trouble getting a diverse crowd? Or is this something where, you know, the Coalition of Black Students or for Black Students organizes an event and primarily Black students come?
Actually, no, it's the opposite. When we organize events centered around educating our campus on different aspects, social justice aspects, since we don't have a large population of African-American students, the majority of the attendees are not minorities. And that's ultimately our goal. Too often do we preach to the choir. Too often do we talk in circles about, you know, what's affecting us, but we aren't extending that conversation to others. So one example is we planned it was basically a debriefing of the incidents that happened or unfolded in Ferguson, and the crowd was extremely diverse, and not just diverse in racial status, but diverse in views. And that's the ultimate goal, because if you don't know the full story, if you don't know every perspective, then you really don't know your perspective.
I realize that as one of the organizers, you may not have had that much of an opportunity to really be a part of the event on the 26th. But what was your impression of those conversations? Did you feel like it maybe was different from past events?
Actually, on the 26th, I was away at a conference on Black student government, so I didn't get to actually go to the first event.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll check with you after some of the other events. How did your fellow student organizers feel about it?
The feedback that I've gotten from other student organizers that were there was just that they were shocked at the amount of community members that were there. But they love the fact that everyone was able to voice their opinion in some way, shape, or form, and that it wasn't your typical panel discussion where experts basically talk at you. They felt that they were able to talk amongst the group, and that was way more effective than any other dialogue that we typically have on campus.
Now, I ran through the list of the upcoming forums: Clashmates, Race in Schools, Tough Talk About Race, Criminal Justice, and One Night United. Is there one of those in particular, Brittany, that you're really excited about?
I would have to say I'm really excited about the dialogue centered around criminal justice. Criminal justice is near and dear to my heart. It's something that has plagued my community where I'm from. I'm not an Iowa native. And I think that to me is the dialogue that's speaking the most to me, because I feel that there's so much work that the community can do to increase positive behaviors in our communities and decrease the incarceration rates. And I just feel that that topic is a crucial topic for the community to have, because it's our responsibility to, to raise up the youth and make sure that they're equipped to make the correct decisions and not put in situations where they have to commit a crime to meet their needs.
Well, Brittany, thank you so much for talking with me today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Brittany Cavill is a senior at Drake University. She's one of the organizers of these Unite Iowa events that we're talking about. Again, you can find out more on the website iowaunited.org, or you can go to Twitter and put in the hashtag UniteIowa. Kyle Munson, Iowa columnist for the Des Moines Register, is here with me, along with Carol Spalding Cruzy, professor of English at Drake University. And I'm going to put the same question to both of you. I know that you're both excited about all of these events coming up. Is there one of these topics that you feel is particularly ripe for conversation, or something that you're personally really excited about, Kyle?
Well, it is hard to choose, but I'll just say, for instance, we have the next one coming up on Thursday night at Valley High School, and it's focused on education. And, the reason we picked that, and we have some great partners there, and students and administrators at Valley, but they're healing from fights they had a year ago that were, in part sparked by racial divides. And they've gone through this really deliberate healing process of their own forum. And dialogues in the last year. But look at the last weekend news. We had this flare-up between a couple of local schools, Perry and Dallas Center Grimes, where Perry is almost half their student body, nearly half their student body is Latino. And there was a situation at a basketball game where some Dallas Center Grimes students were engaged in a Trump chant that was directed at the Perry, fans and team. And, some of the students in the wake of that got together and they, kind of had a coming together. So that's one instance where race intruded into schools and in a very initially divisive way, but there was some healing in the wake of that. So, that's just one example of how this is meant to have a proactive conversation. Why do we only have the conversations to react to a crisis or, a controversy? So we put this in place where we can maybe do some good before we get to the next controversy, or, in this case, there's always something in the news to kind of, to prod us to have this conversation.
And of course, I'm sorry, Kyle.
Oh, no, I got to say, one of the great things about this whole process has been working with students like Brittany and Virginia and everybody else. It's so inspiring. I'll be happy to work for them one day.
Well, I was going to ask you, all of these conversations are taking place in Des Moines. You were talking about an incident that happened in Perry. And of course, there are school districts all around the state who struggle with race and difficulties in their schools. Are you getting calls from other people around the state saying, hey, we should be having this conversation in Iowa City. We should be having this conversation in Cedar Rapids, in Waterloo, in Sioux City.
Yeah, no, that definitely comes up. And I do talk to people who mention that. And, that would be great. There are some, in the last year, I spent a lot of time in Waterloo, for instance, where, there is such a strong and rich African-American community and the largest concentration of African-Americans in Iowa. And they just elected their first African-American mayor, whom I spent a lot of time with and profiled and wrote about. We have to, trust me, going from, one coffee shop forum to an immigration forum with presidential candidates to a five-part forum in five different spots, we don't want to bite up more than we can chew. So, I think we have a great agenda set up for this, and then we'll, see what's up next.
Well, and are you it feels like there's a lot of excitement about this and a lot of people who think that this is a terrific idea. Are you a little overwhelmed by the positive response, people saying, yes, we need to do more of this?
Well, yes and no. I think that's natural. I would only expect that. Just look in the last couple of years, post-Ferguson or post-whatever. I just see this as being so necessary that I feel what we're doing is just like a teaspoonful of what, you could do more and more and more, and it's never enough. So I feel like you just have to find your focus, sit down, have a civil discussion, and try to do some good little by little, and then never stop trying, you know. So that's that. The reaction is only natural to me. I think that we need more of this kind of thing.
And Carol, we're nearly out of time, but what are you hoping will come out of this series at Drake and in Des Moines?
Well, I guess I'd just like to say that, you know, there are some people who feel like dialogue itself is not necessarily going to create change. And there are students on college campuses who have talked about, well, enough dialogue, let's have some action. So I just like to remind people that I believe that dialogue itself is a form of action, even though, you know, there's urgent work towards justice. I also think it's very important for us to utilize our sort of sometimes underused civic muscles, so to speak. It's a form of action to be at the table with someone who is in opposition to you. It's a form of action to listen carefully and well. It's a form of action to educate, to learn about a context beyond the pro-con or the two sides that most issues are cast in. And so I hope that people leave with a sense that dialogue can be a form of change, a form of learning, and potentially transformative for participants.
Carol Spalding Cruzy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Carol Spalding Cruzy is professor of English at Drake University. And Kyle Munson, Iowa columnist for the Des Moines Register. Thank you, Kyle.
Hey, thanks so much, Charity.
They've both been involved with Unite Iowa on Race at Drake University. You can find out more at the website iowaunited.org or the hashtag UniteIowa. And the next forum's coming up at Valley High School on March 3rd. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. In January, the newly formed Pyramid Theater Company in Des Moines announced its plans for summer productions. It's an African-American theater company based in Des Moines. This summer, they'll be putting on A Raisin in the Sun, Lorraine Hansberry's play, and it will be followed by Terrence Chisholm's new play, Hooded, or Being Black for Dummies. And with me right now is Ken Matt Martin. He is the founder and executive director of Pyramid Theater Company. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Charity.
And now when you tell someone that you, maybe someone not from Iowa, that you have founded an African-American theater company in Des Moines, Iowa, I would guess you get a lot of questions about that. So why form an African-American theater company in Des Moines, Iowa?
Yeah, well, I lived in Des Moines for 8 years. I went to Drake for undergrad and after graduating stayed and worked at Drake for a while and was working quite a bit as an actor in town. And typically, the only roles that I ever really got a chance to play were roles specific to black men, black males in particular. They were always kind of like the wisecracking, you know, secondary character to a white lead. And so I kind of got frustrated with that. And that's when I produced and directed August Wilson's Fences in 2014. And then everything just kind of snowballed from there. And Des Moines is such a great supportive city that people were like, we want to see more of this. And that's how Pyramid got started.
And I understand wanting to create an opportunity to give African-American actors, other minority actors, a chance to play roles that are not stereotypes, that have a little more meat to them. Why specifically define it as an African-American theater?
Yeah, well, I just think it's important that people have an opportunity to tell their own stories, right? And so as an African-American man and as the other people who were involved in the founding, we have 7 founding members. The other 6 of us are all also African-American. We had all worked together on the other pieces that we've been doing. We feel that we know how to best tell our stories. I don't know necessarily that I would feel comfortable trying to tell, other cultures and other racist stories per se, because that's not my lived experience. It's no different than, theater practitioners who enjoy Shakespeare or Chekhov and whatnot, who have European roots telling those stories. I just think it's important that we have an opportunity to tell our own. So that's why we founded it specifically as an African-American black company, because we're just telling our stories just like anyone else is.
I want to bring Tiffany Johnson into the conversation. She's director of development for Pyramid Theater Company. Hello, Tiffany.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being here. And tell me how you got involved with Pyramid Theater Company.
Well, I got involved by way of actually Ken Matt Martin. We did a show together for Stage West. It was called Clybourne Park, and we hit it off from there. I was interested in the stories that he was wanting to tell and saw that he was a young progressive, and we kind of linked up, and We had a really great run with Fences in 2014, and then we did it again in 2015 with Soldier's Place. So we that's kind of how this whole thing got rolling.
Well, and give us a little bit of background on that, Ken. I mean, this has been kind of a slow build for, or maybe not that slow, for Pyramid Theater Company. But how did you get started?
Yeah, well, that's why I laughed. It's far from slow. I think the rest of my team would agree with that, with how fast and furious it's been as far as Pyramid is concerned. But after the success of Fences and A Soldier's Play, both of which thankfully were received very well by audiences and sold really well as far as tickets were concerned and whatnot, it just became the next logical step to kind of institutionalize the work that we were doing. I independently produced both of those pieces with the Des Moines Social Club as my executive producer. And the next kind of logical step was we need to actually have our own organization, our own nonprofit entity through which we can produce these types of works. And so that's how things got started. And in terms of the speed of things in particular, once we announced that we were doing it at coming off of the success of Fences and A Soldier's Play again, everything just kind of happened very quickly from there.
Now, I can imagine that once you decided that you could make this happen, the idea of bringing this work to the stage that you've wanted to have an opportunity to be a part of for a long time, I can imagine that picking the first plays would be a little bit like being a kid in a candy store. How did you decide?
Yeah, and I'll let Tiffany chime in here as well, too. But in particular with – I'll speak more to Hooded and allow Tiffany maybe talk about Raisin just a little bit. But Hooded or Being Black for Dummies, Terrence Chisholm, the playwright, is a good friend. He actually literally just today was accepting an award. He's a semifinalist for the Relentless Awards, which is a brand-new national playwriting award named after Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's finishing his MFA currently at Catholic University. He's been a friend, a dear friend for years, and I knew that he had some really great, interesting works. So it started with the playwright, and that's what we're interested in even more towards the future, is finding a playwright that feels like a good fit for us versus just the play. And Terrence's play, Hooded, is brilliant and is going to, I think, really, really get Des Moines thinking in a new and different way. So that was kind of an easy choice. I'll let Tiffany speak to the Raisin and the Sun side of things and how we got to that decision.
With Raisin and the Sun, we decided that we wanted to do, well, with Pyramid, we're committed to doing a classic piece and a new piece by a new and up and coming playwright each season. So with our first classic piece, we thought that Raisin would be something that everyone would recognize and know. But also we were very interested in putting a little different spin on it, whereas we're used to seeing it with Walter Lee being the pivotal character, the main character. We were interested in bringing the three ladies to the forefront in the story and telling it more from a female perspective. So, again, Raisin is just a classic piece. It's something that's well-known, and we're interested in putting a little different pyramid spin on it. So that's kind of how we came to doing Raisin.
In Des Moines, as the development director, you know, obviously you are talking to people about making investments in Pyramid Theater Company. Is it difficult to sell this idea in Des Moines?
It's not nearly as difficult as one might think. I think that people are ready to see these type of shows. Des Moines is becoming a really great progressive city that's very diverse. And I think some people don't really know how diverse Des Moines and the greater metropolitan area has become. So it's something that people want to see. There are shows that people want to see. It's an avenue for us to be able to express ourselves culturally and to kind of erase that line that might be in between cultures, and we can understand each other a little better. And that helps when you're living in a progressive area that's very diverse and that's becoming more and more diverse as we go along.
We're talking about Pyramid Theater Company, a new African-American theater company in Des Moines. I'm talking with two of the founding members, Ken Matt Martin, founder and executive director, and Tiffany Johnson, director of development. And I mentioned that you announced your summer plans in January, and these two plays are going to be performed fairly close together. A Raisin in the Sun will be at Drake University July 8th through the 17th, and Hooded, or Being Black for Dummies, will be at the Des Moines Social Club July 21st through the 31st. So these are happening pretty close together. Ken, why have these two productions so close in time?
Yeah, well, A Raisin in the Sun, as a classic piece, and since it's happening at Drake at a larger venue and all the like, is kind of our big, huge tentpole project, if you will. The production of Hooded in particular is considered a developmental production because Terrence is still actively working on the play. Terrence will be in town with us for 2 weeks this summer and during your residency as he's continuing to work on the play. So the production at the Des Moines Social Club will be a full production, as our other productions have been in the past. But the reason that they're so close together is because we're really, really putting a lot of time and attention into getting Raisin to be this big classic fare that it needs to be. And Hooded, because it's still a piece that's going to be developed a lot, it needs a lot of time with the entire team around in order for us to get it up on its feet. Of course, I failed to mention, we also have, our other leader in this thing is our co-founder and our current artistic director, Jere Holder, who's finishing his MFA at Yale University in playwriting. And so he'll be joining us this summer, literally straight from his graduation at Yale. He drives to Des Moines to direct and curate the entire season. So that's the reason why they're so close together. And we know that people are interested and will want to see both. So we're hopeful to see everyone come out.
Are you already auditioning?
Auditioning, yes. We are opening auditions at the end of this month. We will start auditioning people at the end of this month. March 25th and 26th are those dates.
And how are you getting the word out to people? Because, again, I mean, you're still fairly new, and this is a new idea in Des Moines. Where are you recruiting? Where's your reach?
Yeah, well, to be frank, you know, both Tiffany and I and others involved have been working in the theater scene for years, a lot of us that are involved here. And so as far as the auditions are concerned, we posted them. They're on our website now at Pyramid Theater with an RE.com is our website, and they're up there. And within a day of posting them, we already had 25 people sign up for audition slots, and it's still currently growing. I was looking at it literally right before I came down to take this call, and there were still two more that had popped up within the last hour. And so word is getting around. Of course, we have a Facebook page. You can find us there, Pyramid Theater Company. And then also just do word of mouth within the theater community, and in particular reaching out into the Black community, because we have a lot of roles that are available for persons of color that you don't typically see, obviously, in Des Moines. And there's also quite a few roles that are available for people that are not of color either, for white persons as well. So,
as a new theater company, theater companies operate in many different ways. Is this an opportunity for professional actors to actually get paid for a performance, or is this something to be a part of just out of an act of love and acting?
Yeah, we have a commitment to paying all persons involved. It's a small stipend, particularly for non-professionals. But, you know, my background is such that I've worked in professional theater from a very young age. I actually currently go back and forth between Des Moines and Chicago because I'm currently fulfilling a full-time apprenticeship at the Goodman Theater here in Chicago, which is a big, huge professional theater company. So, I mean, we have a commitment to that. And every single actor that worked on a soldier's play, every single actor that worked on Fences as well, were paid. And so that is at the center of our fundraising and at the center of what it is that we do. That's why selling those season tickets that we have on sale now, and as we're continuing taking donations from people as well, that all goes into the artist's pockets. We're very seriously committed to that. So, yes, it will provide opportunities for actors of all different levels.
Now, I know a lot of professional actors juggle different performances at the same time. Is there an opportunity for actors to be in both productions, or will you try to keep the companies separate?
Literally, the schedule does not allow to be in both performances this summer. As far as A Raisin in the Sun and Hooded are concerned, they literally the technical rehearsal schedules are right on top of each other, so that's not possible to be into both. But there's something else that we'll be announcing shortly in terms of a third opportunity that'll be available within the next couple of weeks.
And you're not going to tell us?
I don't know that I'm allowed to. Or I would, but it literally, I think on March 12th is the date that it's being announced. I will say that we're going to be collaborating with another long-time arts organization in Des Moines, a project that's kind of been long brewing, and that we're going to be co-presenting with them. And I will allow them to make that announcement themselves in a couple of weeks.
All right. Well, we will wait with bated breath. Now, of course, the Oscars just occurred on Sunday night, and there has been a lot of conversation about race in Hollywood leading up to this Oscars and many other Oscar ceremonies in the past. The fact that minority actors and actresses are underrepresented and other minorities in Hollywood as well are underrepresented in those nominations. This seems like perhaps the perfect time to launch this theater company in Des Moines when that awareness is so high. Tiffany, are you hearing from a lot of people who are saying, yeah, we need more projects like this one?
I am definitely hearing that from a lot of people. The support that we have had has been just unbelievable, and we're very grateful for the response. And you're right. You know, there has been an underrepresentation that's happened with the Oscars and otherwise in the acting industry. And hopefully Des Moines is very good at being a grassroots city and starting some trends. We see that politically and otherwise. So hopefully they'll catch on to the pyramid bandwagon and we'll start seeing some changes in that.
Now, you have an acting background, Tiffany. You did some acting in high school. And I know a lot of people act in high school and then it's just part of the past. What brought you back to acting?
Well, I would have never stopped, but I became a young mother and took that job very seriously. And so I entered the workforce and was taking care of my responsibilities as a parent. And when I got my kids to an age where I thought that I could start developing myself and my skill again, I jumped right back into theater and started working with some already established theater companies here. And just got bit by the bug again. Theater is that way. Once you get involved in that human experience and the human aspect of theater, it touches you in an intimate way. And that's kind of what it did to me. And I loved it, and I saw the response that we got from it, and I saw the unique opportunity to address many elephants in the room dealing with different topics throughout different plays. And I just love it. I have a passion for it and a love for it, and I'm very glad to be back involved in it again.
As a mom, what do you think about when you think about your kids being in the audience and seeing a play with a primarily African-American cast?
Well, it's heartwarming to me. And actually, my daughter was able to act with me in Senses and get on the stage, which was a unique opportunity for her and also an opportunity for her to gain more culture. I think a lot of times, especially with the school systems now, they're taking a lot of those things out of the school curriculum, which I think are so, so important for people to have a comprehensive view of life and look at the big picture and be affected on a human level. Those fine arts programs that a lot of times they take out of the school curriculum very much fostered that growth and development on a human level. So I'm glad that my kids have the exposure. Not only do they have wonderful mentors around them that are all committed to the arts and all committed to our great city, they also have opportunities to get on stage now where they may not have had those opportunities a lot before. So my kids are very excited, and so are a lot of their friends, actually.
That's great. Tiffany, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Tiffany Johnson, Director of Development for Pyramid Theater Company. And Ken, before I let you go again, coming up this summer, A Raisin in the Sun, July 8th through 17th at Drake University, Hooded or Being Black for Dummies at the Des Moines Social Club, July 21st through the 31st, and an unnamed project that we'll find out about later in March. When you look to the future of Pyramid Theater Company, what are your hopes?
You know, my hopes are that we really just provide an avenue and a launching pad for artists nationally and locally to be able to tell their stories in their own way. One of the things, you know, even going back to your question earlier about, you know, the Oscars controversy and all the like, it just really boils down to opportunity and an avenue in which for people to tell stories. When you look at the people we have involved, artists like Terrence and artists like Jure, for example, who have these great national careers right now and are choosing to do work in Des Moines, it shows you that nationally there is an issue with opportunity.
Well, I'm excited to see what you do in the future. Ken Matt Martin, founder and executive director of Pyramid Theater Company. You can find out more at pyramidtheater.com. This is Talk of Iowa.